हरि ओ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, I think we're on 10 or 11. I forgot to put my sticky.
Finished 10.
Hmm?
I think we finished 10.
Finished 10. Well, that's the barbershop one. That's the other one. Finished. 11. Brahma then perceived in his heart the Lord's command, which he heard as an unembodied voice in the sky. He repeated that command to the demigods, and they all became satisfied. Because sincere worship of the personality of Godhead never goes in vain, the demigods did receive their answer. But because their worship was formal and reverential, the Lord chose not to answer them in person. He wanted to remind them that official worship alone does not satisfy him. Brahma received the Lord's order, but only in the core of his heart, and after he had carefully withdrawn from all external functions of his senses and mind. Furthermore, he was able to hear the order only as a voice in the sky from an unseen speaker. Right? Because they're demigods, so they do things like this very formally and all that, so that naturally then this is a natural way to reciprocate. Mm-hmm. Right? Furthermore, he was able to, what Brahma heard in his meditation repeated to the demigods is now famous. Lord Brahma said, before we submitted our petition to the Lord, he was already aware of the distress on earth. Consequently, for as long as the Lord moves on earth to diminish his burden by his own potency in the form of time, all of you demigods should appear through plenary portions as sons and grandsons in the family of the Yadus. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has full potency, will personally appear as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, all the wives of the demigods should also appear in order to satisfy him. The foremost manifestation of Krishna is Sankarsana. He was known as Ananta. He is the origin of all incarnations within this material world. Because right? Sankarsana expands his Prajumna, expands his Aniruddha, and then from him come all the expansions within the material world. All the incarnations come through Aniruddha. So you can say they're coming from Sankarsana. Because it's Sankarsana who is expanded. Yes. Previous to the appearance of Lord Krishna, this original Sankarsana will appear as Baladeva, just to please the Supreme Lord Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. The potency of the Lord, known as Vishnu Maya, who is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will also appear with Lord Krishna. This potency, acting in different capacities, captivates all the worlds, both material and spiritual. At the request of her master, she will appear with her different potencies in order to execute the work of the Lord. Right? So this Vishnu Maya, right, is the Sarup Shakti, but in the aspect of how you say, she makes the arrangements. Right? So then she makes arrangements for the pastimes as Yoga Maya, as she deals with the material world as Mahamaya. So it's the same person. Does that make sense? So she's different from the external energy. Understand? She is the master of the external energy.
Yes.
But it's not that she is, how you say, pradhan. Does that make sense? She's, does that make sense?
Yes.
Because Maya means, is Maya the rock, or is Maya how we see the rock?
How we see
the rock. Yeah, so that's the thing, is she's there before the, you know, the Lord glances at pradhan.
Who is the rock?
You want a name? Jose?
Who's pradhan?
Pradhan is the external energy, just like there's the internal energy. But the Srup Shakti is controlling all the energies. As we're saying, she's there before. But she, by the Lord's will, then she's a potency that then enters into this external energy and then creates the illusory aspect. Does that make sense? Because the point is the dead matter, it's dead matter. So you have to create some illusion to make the dead matter look good.
So she creates the illusion and produces the attraction that we feel.
Yes, means all of it means she will be doing all these things, but it's all by the Lord's potency. So when you say Prajumna creates the attractiveness, but he's going to enter any, everything through, you know, as Mahamaya, as Maya, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you can say Krishna creates the worlds, but then act, you know, he expands as Mahavishnu to do that. But then that's actually done through how you say, Mahamaya and Shiva. Yes, but it's still his potency that does it. You know. Does that make sense? It's just like someone comes and says, oh, you've done such a nice garden. It may be you haven't even put one finger on the garden, but you've told what to do, you've arranged it according to your directions that the laborers made the garden. Right? So we can say that this garden's made by the laborers, but so that just says mechanically what happened, but it doesn't actually explain why the garden's there.
Yes.
The garden's there because of the person who arranged it. So, you know, they have that potency to make it because you've given them. They just came in one day and made a garden there. You might not think that that's very good, but you've asked them to, so therefore it's that. So, same way as you can say, Maya's controlling everything, but what does that mean? She's controlling on behalf of the Lord. So you can say, the Lord, he's bewildering all the living entities, and he's doing that to Maya. He doesn't do it himself.
Yes.
Does that work? Okay. In contrast with the demigods or Lord Brahma, the Pandavas had no need to focus on the Lord in their heart in yogic samadhi. Krishna was constantly present before their very eyes. So here, the Lord knew about it before, but they are thinking nothing's happening. So then they go to the Lord and all that, and then find out he's planning to come and appear and perform his pastimes. So they're to come and take part in the pastimes. But for the Pandavas, they're the ones where he appears to perform his pastime. Right? So it's like different. Yeah. So that's what's being pointed out. So these others, Brahma is a great devotee, the demigods are great devotees, but we see that the Pandavas are even more special. Okay. 12. Only in some confidential meetings did wise sages like Garga divulge who Krishna really is. He whom the personality of Godhead, Narayana, only partially equals. No one else even coming close. Okay, so, Narayana partially equals. Otherwise, you know, no one else is coming even close to that. Because Narayana is already the expansion of the expansion. Right? And he's only manifesting basically that principle of the Jnana Shakti. Right. So then as much, yes. So then other avatars, they're coming, because all they have to do is make something special here. Narayan is creating the flavor for the material, but all the spiritual world is there. But the incarnations here, they only have to show as much potency as required to do something here.
That's why,
right? And it doesn't take much, right? You know, somebody comes out with some sleight of hand, you know, and people are impressed. Yes.
So then we can say all the incarnations, they have Icha Shakti, but it's unmanifest. And in Krishna, it's very prominent.
Yes. Well, the point is Icha Shakti is manifest by Krishna, and to take care of the arrangements for that, then he expands as the other incarnations who take care of the Jnana and Kriya aspects. But because it's Krishna, yes, those aspects are there. So within his pastime, just like within Kriya Shakti, Sankarsana, it's by his will that everything's created. But that's only in support of Krishna's desire, like that. So in other words, all other incarnations, their purpose is only to please Krishna. So that's the specialness there. So what he's pointing out here, why bring this up, is because this Krishna is the one that's coming and staying at the Pandava's house. Right? It's not like, Hayagriva is coming and staying at his house, or Vamana is coming and staying at his house. But this is Krishna himself is coming and staying at his house. So that's the specialness. Is the source of all the other incarnations. Is you said something wrong? Oh, okay. Just a little brother. What? I'm not tolerating this.
I won't have it.
Okay. Thus we hear of Sri Krishna's presence in Mathura city as the deity called Dirga Vishnu, Maha Hari, Maha Vishnu, and Maha Narayana. Here Narad Muni explains that not only do the secondary expansions of Godhead not equal Krishna, even Lord Narayana is inferior. Non-Gaudiya Vaishnavas may allege that when Krishna appeared in response to the request of the demigods, he did so as an avatar of Sri Narayana. Narad Muni declares, however, that Krishna is the original Godhead, superior to Narayana. And Krishna devotees, like the Pandavas, are superior to Narayana's devotees, right? Because the Lord appears to reciprocate with the devotees. So if you see Krishna, that means there's devotees that he's reciprocating that with. Because Krishna is rasa, right? So therefore he can take any form. So he takes the form of Krishna because there are devotees who worship him in that capacity. That makes sense? It's not that he's hanging around and going, wow, this is boring, and maybe I should expand some devotees. And then, you understand? So it's because there is that devotees, therefore he takes that form. Krishna's devotees, like the Pandavas, superior to Narayana's devotees, including Garuda and Lakshmi. This knowledge is confidential. It is, quote, revealed in some private meetings by super excellent wise sages like Garga. Pragya varer vivite garga adibhir yo nibritam prakashyate. Narada prefers not to mention that these meetings had been with Nanda Maharaj. Nanda's position as the recipient of Krishna's mercy is so advanced that his name should not be mentioned until later, when the discussions reach a higher level. As we read in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, 10.8.19, because it's the same Krishna. So that's why you see is the acharyas are giving something about in one place, they may give an example from another place. Like we're giving example of Krishna's position in Dwarka, but you're giving quotes from Braj. It's the same Krishna. You understand? Like that. Different flavors, because the devotees worship him in one way, he manifests that flavor there. So the flavor that Krishna manifests in Braj doesn't leave Braj. But it's not that he's a different person. You understand? That's the point. Goloka means Krishna. But because of the flavors, then you have Braja Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. So that's a flavor. But it's still the same, has all the same potencies. You know, has all the 64 opulences. Does that make sense? as same personality, because he identifies that he was in Braj, he was in Mathura, he is in Dwarka, or, you know, he's in Braj, but he has to, you know, he was in Mathura, and then he came, now he has to go back. You understand? So it's one personality. But the flavors that he manifests of this personality, that will be different according to the places because of the devotees. Does that make sense? So we don't want to make too much difference. Yes.
Can we say that with Pandavas, Krishna is actually less formal than Dwarka? Can we say that?
That, I'm not sure, we'll have
because
to see.
Because now it's Uddhava. Means they consider him more elevated. But in his dealings, Krishna with the Pandavas seems more... Less formal,
but there may be, I would say, with Uddhava, you'll have a greater intensity. You know, because the element of the confidential, you know what I'm saying, is that, you know, you don't hear of the Pandavas, you know, delivering messages to the gopis. So there's an intimacy that's there, confidentiality. So they're friends, but it's more like friends like, you know, equals or a little older and junior, those three. But the confidential friend, that's Uddhava. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Just a question. It is said the deity of Krishna in Mathura called Durga, Vishnu, Mahalaya. This is the same person? What is for Durga?
I'm not sure if he's...
Mahanarayana.
Yeah, it must be the same. Okay. Yes, because Mahanarayan, you have Narayan. So Mahanarayan, that must mean Krishna.
Yes. And the Mahavishnu is the same that Karanadaka Vishnu?
Vishnu.
The same that...
No, Mahavishnu being the expansion of Narayana. So Narayana is superior to Mahavishnu, but Krishna is superior to Narayana, so therefore he's Mahanarayana.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it also, as you mentioned, it depends upon who you're talking to.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, yes.
Because for the devotees of Vaikuntha, they will call Narayana, the Lord of Vaikuntha, and then the origin of all the Narayan forms, they will call him Mahanarayana.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, as we know, Mahanarayana resides in Mathura. So Krishna expands as Balaram, Balaram expands as Mahanarayana, who is in Mathura.
We have two Mahanarayans.
Well, you have Krishna and Balaram.
This Mahanarayan that extended from Balaram, and then we had last year in Magubana. There was one Mahanarayan, this first one, and then there was when we were talking about Vaikuntha Vishnus.
But are you sure they're not talking about the same Narayan, Mahanarayan? See, because from Mahanarayan, then comes your original Sankarshan, Prajumna, Adiruddha, and Vasudeva, which are Krishna and Balaram, Prajumna, and Adiruddha in Dwarka.
Okay.
Right? And then from Sankarshan, there then expands Vaikuntha.
The Chaturvyuha.
Yes, then the Chaturvyuha, that then you get all the Vaikuntha that keeps expanding from Sankarshan into all of the Vaikunthas. Does that make sense? And then, from what I understand, is from this Maha Sankarshan, then you expand the Mahavishnu. The Purusha avatars.
Yes.
So from
yes,
Kanadakshaya Vishnu. So in other words, from that Maha Sankarshan, then you're going to get two lines: one going through Vaikuntha, and one going into the Purusha avatars in the material world. So the difference in the mood is Vaikuntha means he's identifying that I'm the Supreme Lord, I'm God, right? And then in the material world, is I'm the Creator, Maintainer, and Destroyer. Because there is no creation or destruction in Vaikuntha. So it's slightly different flavor. So even though that's there, you know, originally in Balaram, you see is that aspect is manifest in the Purusha avatars, where they're actually dealing with the material energy. And the last stage of that, you can say, is Sankara, means is Sadashiva. Does that make sense? So which is that aspect, because he's also, that's why he worships Shankarshan. It's technically, ultimately, Sankarsha is his deity because he's an expansion of him. Or you can say a transformation.
Sadashiva.
Yes. Right. Like we saw when Sadashiva, he was worshipping Sankarsana. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that way the Sankarsana has all those aspects. Like that. So technically Sankarsana has all the aspects of Narayan, the Chaturvyuha, the Purusha avatars, Shiva, you know, Ananta. These are all different aspects of the personality of Sankarsana. Meaning Balaram. That aspect. Because Sankarsana makes all the arrangements. In other words, he is the main person. He expands as Prajumna and and Aniruddha to make the arrangements for Vasudeva.
So he's practical.
Yes. He's, in other words, he's the situation, the activities, the, you know, like this.
Right. Yes.
Well, then Vasudeva technically then is that you know the pastime. The devotee is the pastime. The feelings exchanged like that. So that's why also in the explanation of the expansion of the Vaikuntha planets, or the whole expansion as it functions, you can say it's all from Vasudeva. Because actually the reason that there's the expansion is because Vasudeva is having his pastime. And Sankarsana arranges it. Mechanically, then Sankarsana is expanding and arranging it all. So it says you have this kind of double thing. That you have Balaram, but from that you're expanding Mahanarayan, who expands the Chaturvyuha. So you have Vasudeva, which is Krishna. So it's Vasudeva Krishna. Right? And so then you can say in this way, so Vasudeva Krishna expanding from Balaram, but at the same time is to interact, Balaram expands as you know, Mahasankarsan. Right? So Mahasankarsan interacts with Vasudeva. Does that make sense? Like that. Because otherwise, because Balaram's already expanding with Krishna, why does he need to, why would he... So that's the way as Krishna expands, he expands. So as Krishna expands as Ramachandra, he comes as Lakshman, like that. So then it always works that way. Does that make sense? As we read in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, 10.8.19, Gargamuni specifically told Nanda Maharaj, "O Nanda Maharaj, this child of yours is therefore as good as Narayana in his transcendental qualities, opulence, name, fame, and influence. He is exactly like Narayana. You should all raise this child very carefully and cautiously." Vishwanath Chakravartipad gives the following insight on this verse. "Because your Ishtadev has been pleased, he has given you a son like Narayana." This is the intent of this verse. It is prescribed that you should chant the names Mukunda, Madhusudana, and Narayana. But in all good things there are obstacles. So therefore, at every moment, protect Gopayasva, your son, carefully. This son who you protect will protect you from all disturbances, just like Narayana. Taking the meaning of Narayana Sama to mean whom Narayana is equal, to whom Narayana is equal, there is the inference of inferiority of Narayana. So the meaning would be, you have a son to whom Narayana is equal in qualities, but actually Krishna is more attractive than Narayana in other great qualities, such as giving liberation to the demons, giving Mahabhava to the devotees, and displaying Rasa Lila, which is unattainable by Lakshmi. Sartartha Darshani. Right? So here also, it can also be taken as that, yes, to come up later, son like Narayan. So then he'll take it that he's like Narayan, not that he is Narayan. You know what I'm saying? Because then for him he's just a son. At the same time, his son isn't Narayan. He's the origin of Narayan, but that he doesn't really catch. That's inferred. So he's going to look at it from this point that my son is like Narayan, not that he is Narayan.
Yes.
Was that sense?
That's what from the rasa understanding?
Yes, because otherwise Nanda Baba, it's just he's his son. So because you've done so much nice service to Narayan, he's giving you a son like him. But here, like him actually means that he's actually like him means, but he's not actually quite like him because actually Krishna's the origin. So from that, we can understand the philosophy. Right? But for Nanda Baba, he'll just stop at that point. I think this will come up later. That's why Narad Muni basically didn't mention, because otherwise then you distract the conversation. You know, why are we talking about the Pandavas? Thus, the real meaning of Garga's words is hidden. Narayan is similar to Krishna in the qualities that define the status of God, but he does not share the unbounded sweetness of Krishna's appearance and attire, his pastimes, and so on. Outwardly, Garga encourages Nanda to take great care in raising and protecting Krishna, but secretly, the word Gopa Aya Sva has another interpretation. Because of Krishna, there will be constant increase, Aya, of the cowherd's ecstatic love. And also because of him, all their desires and needs, Sva, will be fulfilled. Garga Muni only tactfully alluded to Krishna's supremacy. He said that Krishna and the Supreme Lord Narayana are equal in some ways. These words imply that although Narayana is like Krishna in the sense of also being the source of all incarnations and having a divine body, the Lord of Vaikuntha is not equal to Krishna in all respects. All right, so when you say like, but it's actually the other way around. It's not that Krishna is like Narayana, it's actually like Narayana. It means Narayana is like him. Like that. Garga referred to, that's the nice thing about Sanskrit, is you can do this and say one thing and it has more meanings to it. Like that. Garga referred to Lord Narayana as Bhagavan, and according to Parasara Rishi's definition, Bhagavan refers to that person who fully possesses all authority, strength, fame, opulence, knowledge, and renunciation. Narayana means the personality of Godhead, who casts his merciful glance, ayate, on the multitude of living entities, Nara. By his glance, he bestows the potencies of knowledge and action, thus engaging the jivas in useful and sanctifying activities. Does that make sense? So you always have these things where one thing is said, but it can mean other things. The same time as then it can be discussed in the opposite. You know, I say, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of which aspect you're bringing up, because all means all the incarnations are Krishna, and they have the same potency. It's just how much they manifest. Does that sound? Yes.
But Maharaj, without the acharya, we can understand.
No, we can't. No, we can't understand that. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say you're sitting there and there's a bug crawling on the pillow. So you take your finger and you flip the bug. The point is you flick the bug, but you've done it through your finger. So how much potency is manifest in the finger, not the full potency of your whole body, because that wouldn't do so well to flicking the bug. You understand? So therefore, how much is necessary is how much is manifest. In 7 cents. So it's not that we should look at this in a small thing, because the bug may be also known as like Hiranyakashipu.
Yes.
Very big bug, but compared to Krishna's unlimited potency, then you only still... Okay. Yeah. 14. We can only pray to satisfy him through our disciplines of silence, peace, and devotion. But being naturally satisfied with you, he has even submitted himself to your control. Wait. So it's through discipline, silence, peace, devotion, these elements that the Lord is satisfied. But the Lord being naturally satisfied because of their devotion, then he submitted himself to their control, rather than we surrender ourselves through these methods and then get the Lord's mercy. The Lord is then he is being controlled, submits himself for their control, because they're always so nicely situated in this way. Because so not doing this to gain his favor, they're just doing this because this is what they naturally do. Right? There's nothing to gain for them. They're only trying to please Krishna.
They've already gained it.
You know, it's just like we perform sadhana so that we may advance in spiritual life, develop that, you know, taste for the holy name, develop love for Krishna. But they're not doing their activities for that. They're just doing it to please Krishna. Does that make sense?
It's another level.
It's another level, yes.
So there's a doubt, then how is going to sadhana turn into rag?
By association. Means, in other words, because you perform the sadhana, and that's recommended by Krishna, pleasing Krishna in that way, then you'll come in contact with those who then deal on a platform higher than that.
This is the only way.
Yes.
Only by association.
Yes.
It's not going to happen any other way.
No. That's the whole thing, is that the secret of all this is that it's by the association of devotees. But the point is in but the devotees are going to teach you how to please Krishna. And so in sadhana, then all these different activities are named to do. Because in the spiritual world, they're always going to be talking about Krishna. That's pretty standard. So it's not that they do it as a sadhana. They just always are interested to talk, hear and chant about Krishna, remember Krishna. You know, serve as all the nine processes, that's just what they naturally do. It's just, but for us, we have to do them as a sadhana, as a practice. Because for us, it's not natural. You know, like that. So. Even though Narada is a first-class Vaishnava, he humbly includes himself amongst impersonalist sages who have not yet received the Supreme Lord's mercy. Comparing the Pandavas with himself, Narada finds the Pandavas greater. Although the sages are self-satisfied, free from material entanglement, and strict in their execution of the nine kinds of devotional practice, they can only hope to attain the Lord's mercy in the distant future. Narad Muni also makes this comparison in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Exalted persons like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma could not properly describe the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He is always worshipped as the protector of all devotees by great saints who observe vows of silence, meditation, devotional service, and renunciation. May that Supreme Lord be pleased with us. Right, so he's worshipped with these things, but the point is you're trying to get the Lord's pleasure. So these are the recommended processes. So that's what's performed. But the point is by getting his pleasure, then one actually develops that love for him. Right? Otherwise, how do you test? You know, it's not like, okay, you know, who can eat the most pancakes in you know, 45 minutes? You know, or, you know, who can, how you say, yell the loudest, or you know, who can, how you say, you know, you go on and on, you know, what people do just for fun. So it's not that you make it up and that's going to please. So therefore there must be some recommended process, and these recommended processes are the activities that they do in the spiritual world, but we're doing them from the point of it's a practice. They're doing it spontaneously. But the point is, if we're not interested in what they do spontaneously by practice, then how are we going to be interested in the result of that, getting the Lord's mercy, where therefore we do those things spontaneously? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point.
Yeah. It seems that the devotion of the Pandava is quite mature.
Yes.
And there is a lot of affection, there is security, means it's like it's a type of friendship, means if the Lord is going to visit them, like equality, I can say.
Yes. Well, that's the thing, in Sakyaras, then you have with Arjuna is equal, with Yudhishthira he's senior, and the Nakula Sahadeva the junior, like that. But at the same time, because they're not that much difference in age, then that friendship element is there. So you have all, because friendship means you have four kinds of friends. Those who are equal, those who are superior, those who are junior, and those who are confident. Did I say four?
Yes.
Yeah, confidential.
Yes.
Right? So now we've only dealt with with equals senior and junior, with the pandavas. Yes. Before this, we only had servitorship, meditation, like this. You know, basically, before that, everyone's meditating, or they were dealing with the Lord, but it's only in connection with their specific service. Mm-hmm. It's not so much in just hanging out. Yes. Brahma is with the Mahapurush, because he's performing the yajnas and sacrifices, and that's then what the Mahapurush is encouraging, so he's attending. Right? Indra's running heaven, so Vamanadeva, as the Manvantara avatar, he's there to, you know, see that everything's going nicely. But it's not that it's specifically he's there just to hang out, because they're great friends. Like that. In some sense, Bali Maharaj also, Vamanadeva is there. The affection is greater, so therefore he's there. You know, you would expect him to be in heaven, but instead of being in heaven, he's in, Sutal. Somebody will have the heaven on earth, you know. Heaven on the subterranean, heavenly planets, all. Goodwill to all, I guess, asuras. Something seemed to it. We seem to have missed out in the past year.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. There is Hawaii. There is Hawaii.
So, yes, but here he's just friends just to hang out. You know, and it's not that something is getting done. They're just hanging out just to hang out. You know? Though, in the Kshatriya flavor, but it's still, they're just doing it there. You know? So it has that little bit of, you know, the activities themselves may have some formality, but it's not that they're relationship really has much formality. You know, there is some because he is their Lord, but at the same time he is their friend. You know, so that's the thing, is there kind of a juncture between what's come before and then what's after this. You know, they're kind of like that point in the middle. You know, is that...
So it goes well with the Mahabharata.
It goes well with the Mahabharata. Yeah, well that's... He had made the Mahabharata thinking that's the last word, but then it didn't bring out that actual devotional side. Even though the Pandavas, that's all they're doing, but by reading the Mahabharata, you might not catch that fact. Mm-hmm. Like this point that Yudhishthira Maharaj sits with his court and then works out to do a yajna just because then we can invite Krishna, that we haven't heard from Mahabharata. You know, this is the first time we're hearing this. And so that's the...
Yes.
Narad Muni also makes this comparison in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Exalted persons like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma could not properly describe the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He is always worshipped as the protector of all devotees by great saints who observe vows of silence, meditation, devotional service, and renunciation. May that Supreme Lord be pleased with us. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:10-15. Right, so even Brahma and Shiva can't fully explain because they are devotees of, basically, technically, Sankarsana. Well, you could say Brahma is a devotee of Prajumna, Shiva is a devotee of Sankarsana. So to be able to describe Krishna, the original, that they won't be able to fully do.
Yeah.
Right? Could not properly describe. You know, they can describe, but they can't bring out all the different aspects. So that we see is then those who are from this aspect of Goloka, then they are able to. Right? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, I, being a fool, cannot understand the truth about his great powers and his being controlled by the devotee's prema. Since Brahma and others do not understand, the truth about him is not directly described in truth, as as it is, by intelligence, since intelligence cannot approach him. We, Narada and others, pray for his mercy by silence and other processes. You Pandavas pray for his mercy by being servants. That is the difference between you and us. Sardartha Darshani 7:10:50. Interesting here that phrase, as it is.
Yeah.
We see it comes up a lot in the Acharyas. So it's not, you know. The Prabhupada just brought it into English, so we appreciate it. It's a tradition.
Yeah.
The Pandavas have gained favor without having undergone spiritual disciplines. So strong and spontaneous is their love for Krishna that he falls under its sway. Obeying his devotees' commands like a menial servant, right? They send him as a messenger, he drives a chariot, he does things like this. Krishna's living always with the Pandavas shows the Pandavas' great fortune and Krishna's extreme favor upon them. Krishna is not a distant goal of perfection, but is directly present in the Pandava assembly. By using the proximate pronoun, ayam, this person close by, Narada implies that Krishna is ready to reciprocate with the Pandavas at their pleasure. Narada thus indicates that by Krishna's presence in their royal court, the supreme good fortune of the Pandavas overflows and floods the whole world. Srila Prabhupada adds, any pure devotee who is constantly conscious of Krishna is naturally very fortunate. The word nriloke, meaning within the material world, indicates that before the Pandavas there had been many, many devotees, such as the descendants of the Yadu dynasty, and Vishishta, Marichi, Kasyapa, and Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva, who were all extremely fortunate. The Pandavas, however, were better than all of them because Krishna himself lived with them constantly. Narada Muni therefore specifically mentioned that within this material world, the Pandavas were the most fortunate. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:10:48 per point. So we can see also what's coming up, the discussions in the Bhagavatam, you know, because this is in a concise form, is being brought through here, right? So in other words, we're going through all these levels of the Bhagavatam. This is, you know, Brihad Bhagavatam Rita. So it's giving the essence, so we can see we're coming up through here. So these things are then referring to these later cantos. A skeptic may ask, if Krishna in fact is the absolute truth, then why does he become attached to 16,000 wives? And why does he obey ordinary religious principles? It's just like, if he's not the absolute, and you have someone else, you know, who's got 16,000 wives, you know, it's like, you know, it's like. In the third of these seventh canto verses, Narada answers, do not expect to understand everything about Krishna. Even Lord Shiva, Brahma, and other great mystics cannot describe him completely. They cannot even fully describe the beauty of any one of his limbs. They cannot put these factual, transcendental facts into words, or even conceive them in their minds. Quote, and if such exalted authorities are frustrated in trying to explain Krishna, Narada implies, what can someone like me do? Right? And so then the point comes up is that if this is Narada Muni, who's respected by everyone in the universe, then who is this person who is the skeptic? It's like, who cares? You know, like that. The Pandavas, however, have a special relationship with Sri Krishna, by which they know him much more intimately than do any of the demigods. Krishna is obviously satisfied with the Pandavas, whereas the demigods, by various spiritual practices, must still endeavor to obtain his satisfaction, right? So they already have the satisfaction. They're trying to obtain it. That's the difference that's being made by Narada Muni here. Is Brahma and everybody are doing all this, and through this, even just within the core of his heart, then he gets an answer. But he actually hears this from this unembodied voice. Yes. But the Pandavas is already pleased. He's already there, right? They're trying to meet the Lord. The Lord's gone to meet the Pandavas.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the. Hello. So we're connected to our break. Narad's father, Brahma, and other great mystics like the four Kumaras can only strive to realize Krishna with a dim hope of future success. Because Brahma is met, but then Krishna goes. He's living with the Mahapurush, but not with Krishna. Right, so he had that realization because Krishna gave him the mantra. Like that.
So then, bewilderment of Brahma, the Brahma Vimohan Leela,
yes.
Is that because Krishna is like a new person for him? He didn't know him before like that?
You could say on one level, yes, because he's never seen him like as a cowherd boy.
Yes.
And, you know, it mentions there specifically in the verses that he was holding the yogurt and rice in his left hand. So now he would expect that, you know, God would do everything very properly. Because he's used to, you know, dealing with Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, you know, and a thousand-headed Purusha like this. So, or Kiradakshaya Vishnu in his Paramatma. You know, when he goes, he meditates, and so he's much more used to that kind of formality. So he's not there, but at the same time, he knows that this is Krishna. So he's a little worried that his prank may be playing with fire here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just, you know, it's kind of got a mix of things because, you know, he's there, he's close with the Lord on one level, but at the same time, this aspect of the Lord he doesn't know.
Hmm.
Or there must be some knowledge, otherwise how Brahma Samhita is explaining all these things.
Right.
So some realization, but it won't be as complete as we could say like the Acharyas or like the Pandavas, how they can explain it. So that's the thing, is that it's not that he doesn't know. It's like, you know, his knowledge is perfect, but theirs is more perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it just keeps going up, so... The absolute truth does not live in the house of Prahlad, and therefore sages do not regularly visit Prahlad's house to see the Lord. The personality of Godhead does not assume the role of Prahlad's maternal uncle, nor constantly show Prahlad his satisfaction in so many ways. Therefore, Narada argues, the Pandavas should admit that they are more fortunate than everyone else, the sages, demigods, and other devotees. Right? Their point is, you know, it's obvious, so it should be accepted. 15. Please just hear what I have to say. Before Krishna gave the gift of liberation only to a qualified few, and this has always been the rule. Texts 15 through 24 trace the cause of the Pandavas' superior devotional service. The special influence of their worship of the Lord, Sri Krishna. Hence, Sanatana Goswami presents a summary of his brother Rupa Goswami's argument regarding the Paravasta forms in Lagu Bhagavatamrita. 16-17. Kalanemi, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and others were killed by the Supreme Lord, but none of them received liberation. And pure devotional service was given to no one but Prahlad, who received it from the incarnation, Sri Nrisimha. The personality of Godhead in his multitude of incarnations rarely gave liberation. Most demons killed by Krishna's avatars had to take birth again to be further purified. Kalanemi was killed by the Lord of Vaikuntha during a battle between the demigods and demons. I think Kalanemi became Kamsa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay. I can never remember the one that was Karna. He was a very big... Maybe he was Narakasura. No? Narakasura? I don't remember, but he was big because when they went up into the Himalayas and were, I think, going up to Gandamandana Mountain or something, as they were flying through the space, then they were asking about a huge, like, white mountain. And they said, that's the bones of this demon that Krishna killed. that. And that demon, the next life, and that's the one, was Karna. Because he had that benediction of 100 covetous as part of his body. And then, but he could only be killed by someone who was simultaneously fighting and meditating. You know, it's like he's trying to do like Hiranyakashipu, like, yes, not in the daytime, not in the night, not inside, not outside. So how can someone be sitting in yogic meditation and be fighting at the same time? So that's impossible. So, hey, you know. But he didn't know about Narnarayan Rishi. Not Rishis. Rishi. One.
Yes.
Two aspects of one person. So Nara was sitting in meditation, Narayana killed him.
Yeah, so there's always something.
Try again next time.
Back to the drawing board.
Yeah. Hiranyaksha was killed by Lord Varaha, Hiranyakashipu by Lord Nrisimha, and the two brothers Ravana and Kumbhakarna by Lord Ramachandra. Other daityas and rakshasas, including relatives of the demons mentioned in these verses, also met death at the hands of the Supreme Lord. Not only do Lord Vishnu's avatars rarely give liberation, but they even more rarely bestow pure devotional service. Right? So when we talk about his liberation of the demons, that's because it's something so rare, but the devotees don't even care for that. So it's the Puranas describe only one case in which pure devotional service was granted, when Lord Nrisimha blessed Prahlad. And that devotion, at least according to Prahlad's own testimony, was mixed with the tendency to cultivate knowledge. 18 to 19. Later, the incarnation, Lord Raghunath bestowed pure devotion upon a few: Guha, Hanuman, Jambavan, Vibhishana, Dasara, and the blessed Sugriva. But in relation to those devotees, we never hear of prema, the utmost stage of pure devotion. Some of the participants in Ramachandra's leelas were not finite living entities. Lord Rama's three brothers were members of the Chaturvyuha, Sankarsan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and... Oh, he's Vasudeva. I'm not sure, were we reading in here, or... Because I just read it the other day, that Ramachandra, Lakshman, Shatrughna, and Bharata, then you have Vasudeva and Sankarsan, and then Shankar and Chakra. It was in Bhagavad. Okay, yeah. The Lord's wife, Sita Devi, was directly the goddess Lakshmi. These infallible persons need not rise to the level of love of God because they are situated on that level eternally. But some of Lord Ramachandra's servants, who are jivas, his janas, personal dependents, reap from his association the benefit of pure bhakti. Guha, a king of the Nishadas, became a friend of Lord Ramachandra's. Narada says that, quote, even Dasarat, end quote, attained bhakti from Lord Rama. Narada qualifies his statement in this way to answer potential doubt. The Dasarat was an unfortunate person. After all, Dasarat had been cursed by a brahmana to suffer separation from his son, and that separation led to his dying untimely and in lamentation. Still, he was blessed with pure bhakti by virtue of his intense attachment to his son Rama. His apparent suffering is properly understood to be an ecstatic symptom of transcendental separation from the personality of Godhead. That's good. 20. But now so many persons have been granted liberation, made devotees, and filled with pure prema, all by your maternal cousin. Even persons who came into casual contact with Krishna gained liberation and pure devotion. What to speak of the Pandavas, who lived with Krishna constantly as his intimate friends? The Pandavas should not imagine themselves bereft of these benefits, right? So in these other incarnations, because as we discussed before, that was being discussed by Rupa Goswami, is that the aspect of Paravasta means is that there's that attractive feature. So even other aspects of Paravasta aren't as attractive as Krishna. therefore you see is that even though they're being killed or they're interacting, they're not necessarily getting liberation or developing prema. But you see these persons, many of them who are mentioned, they come along and they're also in Krishna's pastimes, and so at that time everything turns out perfect. But the principle is being discussed here. Right? So that principle then is that Krishna is the most attractive, being the original personality of Godhead. Therefore he attracts everyone. Yes.
I think it's also mentioned in the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Vyankatavata.
Oh.
They discuss the same subject, okay, as Krishna is the supreme, even Lakshmi, and that she comes and wants to,
yes, yes,
to have pastimes with, yeah, him.
Okay. And how did Vyankatavata take it?
He took it okay.
He was good.
Yeah.
Oh, Vyankatavata meaning Gopalbhata's father.
Yes.
Okay, not Vallabhabhata.
No.
Okay. Vyankatavata. Yes, there you go. They still are, you know, very respectful lords of Tanya. They have that means they have the main part of the house, and next to that there's an adjacent house that's connected, and that's where Lord Chaitanya stayed. So they don't let anything happen to it. I think one of the brothers wanted to sell it, but it was kind of like, forget it, this is where Lord Chaitanya stayed. And so they do their yagyas there, their daily yagya and everything they do in that part of the house. Or they live in the other part, but that part they keep, because Lord Chaitanya stayed there. So, yeah. Does that respect his name?
Can we say that Krishna is the most attractive because he is the original personality of God?
You can say like that, but it's being the original, he is manifesting all the aspects of his personality. While other incarnations are only manifesting partial. So it's not that part is not wonderful. But it's just not as attractive as when Krishna manifests his full personality. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, the person is there and different people know him, as we discussed before, the judge. You know, they know him at the court. They may know him, you know, at the golf club. They you know, so many different places he may be known, in political circles, this and that. But you won't know him as well as when he's at home with his family and close friends. So that would be the most attractive aspect. You know, he's sitting there behind the bench and banging his little wooden hammer on the table there. You know, I mean, it has some, you know, power and potency, but it's not necessarily your attractive feature. You know what I'm saying? But let's say he's playing with his son and grandson. Now that's more attractive. Is that so? Krishna's expanding, but you're only seeing all these aspects. So you're bringing back to the position of this Krishna. Because why is this? Because you have all these other aspects. But that's what Lord Chaitanya is offering, hasn't been offered before. Right? Is that worship of Krishna in this flavor, that complete, full personality. Because we're used to, you know, the Lord of Vaikuntha, the Lord of Dwarka, Lord of Ayodhya, you know, Lord of Mathura. Or even, you know, the aspects of lower Vrindavan, lower Goloka, like this. We've heard of these, but this aspect has not been given before. So that's the most rare. So that's why that is being pointed out. All this is pointed out because you can say for 999, yuga cycles, then all these other aspects of the Lord has been available. But in this one, then Krishna is available. And that's technically only is there in Dwapara Yuga for those devotees who can take advantage, but it's only preached in this Kali Yuga. So technically so out of 999 you have one, and it's only half of that. So you can say is, you know, then basically almost, you know, 1/2000th, you know, like that. So it's very rare, right? And that was only at the end of Dwapara, right? You know, the very last few years. So It's rare. Is that? Yes.
When you speak about the Lord Chaitanya, when you speak about the Lord Chaitanya, how? In my mind, there is some one question that how does it apply about Lord Brahma when he appears like Haridas Thakur? His realization. Before you said that Lord Brahma, he knows just some aspect about Krishna.
Yeah.
So when he appear like Haridas Thakur,
yeah, but that's Haridas Thakur.
Yeah, yeah. But it's still him, no?
Yes, but Brahma is the demigod. How much can he get involved in all this? Does that make sense? You're sitting in your planet, and the only reason the demigods come to your place is because they're having problems with, you know, enjoying life in heaven. How much can you discuss? Okay. So as Haridas Thakur, now you can discuss things nicely. So therefore, Narad Muni doesn't say, you know, I say, Indra, Shiva, and Haridas Thakur. He says Brahma.
And then when Haridas Thakur, when he left body, then he's again Brahma?
Yes. Okay. Let us say you're sitting in the temple. Okay? And you are sitting with devotees. Then you're talking nicely about Krishna and everything like that. Right? No? Then you go out and you get on the subway. And when you go and you sit down, then, you know, then suddenly the door opens and in walks, you know, the local chapter of the Hell's Angels and sits down around you. Okay? How much are you going to get into all the nice, intimate pastimes of Krishna and... Okay? Right? Okay. Yes? No? Okay.
It works.
You gotta watch what you say.
Yeah, you can watch what you say, yeah.
You probably wish you hadn't washed your jeans then.
Okay. When he watches them on the platform, you could just rip them holes before they get in.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. 21, and by the power of his glory, demons fit for hell have become immortal after being slain by him or by such companions as Arjuna. It's so poetic, huh? Demons fit for hell. From infancy, Krishna killed many demons, beginning with the witch Putana. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments on this pastime as follows. Even though Putana, who pretended to have sentiments of a mother, gave him poison to kill him, she attained a position in Golok similar to the nurses of Krishna. Krishna has two real nurses named Ambika and Kalimba. Though Putana only had the dress of a devotee, she attained love suitable to a devotee. Though she hated the Lord, he made her a special example. But this incident shows Krishna's quality of giving liberation and bhakti to even those who hate him. Sardarsa Darshani 3.2.23. Because the focus is on him. Right. But, you know, it's like you could say, well, Kamsa thought of him 24/7, but he didn't do anything nice. You know? He didn't render anything that would be considered service. Right?
Yeah.
Indirectly, he made Krishna go to Vrindavan. I mean, she was trying to poison him.
No, but the thing is that she's doing it through the medium of the motherly affection. You know, she's adjusting, becoming a nurse, becoming all these different things. Does that make sense? Well, Kamsa didn't try to make any adjustments.
And even when he was offered the opportunity to make some adjustments, he wasn't very pleased. You know that pastime with Yogamaya when he came? Mm-hmm. Yes. So I mean, he could have just said, hey. But he didn't seem to appreciate it.
Didn't fit his false ego.
No, he did not.
Arjuna and other devotees also killed demons and kings who were partial incarnations of demons like Karna and Duryodhana. Right, because we see from the one of the pastimes in the Mahabharata, when Duryodhana got so, after the Gandharvas had kidnapped him and Arjuna saved him, then he decided, well, that's it. Because who's there? He's there, all his brothers are there, Karna's there, and they couldn't defeat the Gandharvas. And Arjuna single-handedly defeated them. Right? And so then there's a pattern going on here. That they, all of them together, can't, and he can. So then he just decides, no, there's no chance. But then the demons come in while he's in his meditation. They come and take him down to the lower planets and say, hey, you're our man, you know. Because all the demigods have taken birth, you know, in all these dynasties. So, you know, we're going to empower all of your people to defeat them. So don't worry, you know, it's all going to be good. But, it didn't work out. So that's why it says, who are partial incarnations of demons. One is that in their last life they were some kind of demon, but at the same time they were empowered by these present-day demons. These demons and inimical kings were candidates for punishment in hell because they were active opponents of the Vaishnavas. But despite being destined for hell, by the transcendental influence of Sri Krishna, they obtained liberation. In the words of Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.34.35, many demoniac enemies fought vigorously either against the Lord Hari directly or against him under his name, such as Baladev, Arjuna, and Bhima. Among such demons were Baka, Keshi, Kalamba, Danuka, Arishta, Chanura, Mustika, and the elephant Kuvalyapida. Others were Kamsa, Kaliyavana, Pandrika, Narakasura, Narakasura was here, and great marshals like Salva. Still others were Rukmi, Balvala. Okay. Balvala from Valhalla or something. Sambara, Dantavakra, Viduraka, the seven bulls. Oh, they were demons. And Dvidvida, the monkey. Footnote 3. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives extra details. Subdued by him, the seven bulls will attain liberation at another time, since they were animals. Among the demons, Pralamba, Danuka, and others will get Sayuja, and Poundrika, Dantavakra, and others will get Vaikuntha. Sardartha Darshini 2.7.34.35. Okay, since they were animals. Oh, the point is they'll get liberation. And there were also great warriors like Kuru, Matsya, Sringjaya, Kamboja, and Kekaya. All such demons attain either the impersonal Brahma Jyoti or the Lord's personal abode in the Vaikuntha planets. Srila Prabhupada explains how this destination is determined. All persons who participated in the battlefield of Kurukshetra or otherwise with the Lord or with Baladev, etc., would benefit by attaining spiritual existence according to the situation of their minds at the time of death. Those who recognize the Lord would enter Vaikuntha, and those who estimated the Lord as only a powerful being would attain salvation by merging into the spiritual existence of the impersonal Brahma Jyotir of the Lord. But every one of them would get released from material existence. Since such is the benefit of those who played with the Lord inimically, one can imagine what would be the position of those who devoutly serve the Lord in transcendental relationship with him. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.34.35. Right, so like those who, by dealing with the Lord or with the devotee, became purified in that exchange, recognizing the Lord, and then died, they would go to Vaikuntha. Those who only thought he was a powerful living entity would then attain Sayuja. Yeah, Sayuja. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right? So when Arjuna is
shooting the arrows, then they're becoming purified of their sins by that action. Then, seeing the Lord, if they became attracted, they would go to Vaikuntha. If not, they would get liberation. So Lord Balaram killed Danuka, Dravida, Balvala, and others. Prajumna killed Sambara. Muchakunda killed Kalayavana, and Bhima, Arjuna, and other devotees killed enemies, like the king of Cambodia. But actually, Krishna himself killed all these demons, because he had made the arrangement. He was just doing it through his devotees. Krishna simply acted through the agency of the devotees to let them share the glories of his acts. Because the point is, it's about pastime. You know? It's just like, the grandmother is playing a game with the small child. Mm-hmm. Who wins?
The child.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like that. So that's the fun. You know. Is there a taste that the grandmother wiped out the 8-year-old? You know, like
score.
Yeah. 99-0. Grandma wins.
Now cookies. Just for me.
Yes. Don't mess with this grandma. Yeah. Does that make sense? So that's the point. There's fun in doing this with others, right? Just seeing the colors. Hell's grandmas. 22-23. Thoughtful sages like Vishwamitra, Gotama, and Vishishta were intent on austerities, mantra, meditation, and spiritual knowledge. They had various goals in life. But while they were on pilgrimage at Kurukshetra, Sri Krishna mercifully inspired them to pray to him for pure devotion. Thus they obtained it and became fully dedicated to his devotional service. Narad Muni, in the previous verse, explained the results attained by demons inimical to Krishna. Now Narada considers the special mercy Krishna bestows upon the sages, who are typically absorbed in the process of jnana and yoga. Vishwamitra is an especially austere sage. Gotama, an expert chanter of mantras, and Vishishta, a deep knower of spiritual philosophy. Prior to meeting Lord Krishna, they were not pure devotees, but were seeking success on paths of mundane religiosity, prosperity, enjoyment, and liberation. Purified and inspired by seeing Krishna at the holy site of Kurukshetra, these three and other sages submitted a transcendental request, which we find in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:84-26. Today we have directly seen your feet, the source of the holy Ganges, which washes away volumes of sins. Perfected yogis can at best meditate upon your feet within their hearts, but only those who render you wholehearted devotional service, and in this way vanquish the soul's coverings, the material mind, attain you as their final destination. Therefore, kindly show mercy to us, your devotees. Srila Sridhar Swami explains in his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam that the sages considered their audience with Krishna the ultimate reward for their accumulated religious achievements. Aware of their exceptional good fortune, they dared to ask Krishna for the favor of pure devotional service. In case Krishna might try to dissuade them, saying, "Why do you need devotional service? Just continue performing austerities as you always have," they reminded Krishna that in the past the coverings of the gross and subtle bodies were transcended only by his pure devotees, not by impersonalist ascetics. Yeah, so perfected yogis can at best meditate on your feet within their hearts, but only those who render you wholehearted devotional service and in this way may vanquish the soul's coverings. Right. So there. Yeah. 24. Now those trees and creepers are raining down a nectar sap of Krishna prema. Not to speak of humans, even innate objects, inanimate objects are subject to Krishna's mercy. Okay. Do not think that this is astonishing for Krishna, the master of yoga.
He gives liberation not only to humans, but also to non-moving entities. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29:16. Sridhar Swami's translation. Plant life is understood to be in the mode of ignorance because living entities coming to the plant species lose the power of their active senses. The trees and creepers of Vrindavan, however, are pure devotees, transcendental to the three modes of material nature. No more covered by ignorance than any of the inhabitants of that sacred place. Still, Narada follows the general idea of plant life by describing them as covered by ignorance. Or alternatively, he may be describing the plant life outside Vrindavan in areas such as Hastinapur. Queen Kunti referred to the condition of the trees and plants in Hastinapur in her prayers to Krishna. All these cities and villages are flourishing in all respects because the herbs and grains are in abundance. The trees are full of fruits, the rivers flowing, the hills full of minerals, and the oceans full of wealth. And this is all due to your glancing over them. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:8:40. Although originally covered by Tamaguna, the trees and plants of Hastinapura flourished, achieving the highest treasure of love of God, because Krishna simply looked at them. These sub-animal species were uplifted to the pure consciousness called Shuddha Sattva, in which Vaishnavas realize Krishna consciousness. Or, taking another meaning of the word Shuddha Sattvika Bhava, the trees and plants of Hastinapur manifested the Sattvika ecstasies of being stunned, having one's bodily hair stand on end, and so on. They constantly rain down love on Krishna and tears of love disguised as sweet sap. Yeah, being stunned would be a natural for a tree.
Yeah, that's pretty standard.
Yeah, it means they would be quite comfortable.
But isn't it also described that the animate beings,
they get inanimate.
Stunned. Yeah, and the inanimate, they start to swing.
Yeah.
So much.
Yes.
So the trees and plants in a dam like Mayapur or Vrindavan, so they are all pure devotees.
That we'd have to see is, but in any case, they're great personalities. Whether they're on the platform of pure devotion, or that here he's mentioning about the sattvika bhava. You know, so on that platform of realization. In other words, don't mess with the local trees.
Yes. For example, we must be careful if you want to cut one tree.
Yeah. In other words, if there's not some service, then one should avoid. Because right? if one can avoid cutting trees, why would you cut them? If there's some service, then you do, because the name for tree, vriksha, means that which will be cut.
Yes.
So it's just the nature of trees. That's fair. O Krishna's brothers, how can the infinite wonders of his bodily beauty, his effulgence, and his charm be properly described? Features so attractive have never been seen in anyone else. Why are liberation and pure devotion obtained more easily from Krishna than from any other form of Godhead? Because he is supremely attractive, right? So that's the concluding point of the aspect of Krishna. Because he is supremely attractive. The beauty of his all-attractive futures has never been seen in anyone else, not in the Lord of Vaikuntha, nor in any of the incarnations of Vishnu. In Narada's opinion, even to try to describe Krishna's unique beauty would be futile. 26. Those unprecedented attractive features of Krishna leave one struck with amazement. So, also do his pastimes, his qualities, his pure love, his glorious virtues, and the places where he sports. Everything about Krishna is attractive, not only his physical beauty. Everything he does is playful and full of variety. His virtues are like compassion. His virtues, like compassion, are all perfect and unlimited. And he loves his devotees unconditionally as they love him. He exhibits all the traits of noble character, like concern for unfortunate persons and submission to the desires of his devotees. Sri Vrindavan Forest and his other pleasure grounds also attract the hearts of all who enter. The Pandavas, whom Narada has addressed as Krishna's brothers, have certainly realized these truths and are therefore more fortunate among human beings. 27. I think that had he not descended in his own original form, the world would never have known his true identity as the personality of Godhead. There is a logical dilemma in this description. If the Supreme Lord's superlative charm did not exist before Krishna's appearance, that charm would not be eternal. If it did exist, then Krishna would not be superior to the other forms of Godhead. This apparent contradiction, however, is easily solved. Before Krishna appeared in Mathura 5,000 years ago, his eternal complete attractiveness had not been seen in this world for a very long time. It had been forgotten, even by the Vedic sages and demigods, right? Because you're talking about a whole day of Brahma,
yes.
Right? So that's going to mean, unless there are, means the only ones that might remember are those who are working on Brahma's time frame. Right, but even they in a day, because so much is happening, you know, you're managing 14, you know, changes of, you know, universal management a day. You know, we're not talking about, you know, every 5 years, you know, there's a change in the government. We're talking about 14 times in a day, right? You know, so everybody's busy,
yeah.
Right? A lot of things happen and all that, so even they forget. But other than them, these other sages, they forgot or never even knew.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But the one thing, at least in the change, is that it's a how you say? Well, when you, I don't know how you describe it, but in political terms, they have the complete full representation, so there's no opposition as such.
It works.
Oh, it works. That's yeah, that's them. But you know how you have to get a majority, and then you have the opposition.
Yeah.
So they have a total majority, right? You know.
Because
because they run the universe. But.
Italy, they've had more than one government per year since World War II.
More than one per year.
But not because it works. Because it doesn't
work.
Yeah, and an average more than one.
Well, you can see how the Lord is maintaining all living entities.
Yeah, because
despite
not.
That, it's still running.
Yeah.
Okay. Thus, without the advent of Krishna himself, no one would have had any idea of the extent of his perpetual glories. Now his identity as God has been shown, for he has appeared in all his splendor, adorned with his unique glories and the varied wonders of his charming sweetness. As long as Krishna stayed on earth, everyone could see his supreme greatness and charm. Krishna is the eternal source of all incarnations. But because for 125 years, his full glories, rarely seen, were manifest on earth, Krishna is also considered a special incarnation, in a way that transcends ordinary logic. The extremes of divine opulence and simple charm are simultaneously visible in Sri Krishna. Because generally you see the opulence and there's this grandeur. But here is that he has this great opulence, but simple charm. Mm. That's what makes the sweetness. That's why he's so attractive. Because the other is that there's that element of reverence. Because to be attractive, there has to not be that element of reverence. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the feature. 29. We speak of Krishna's kindness, but even the punishments he metes out are worthy of praise. To this we have there have been many witnesses, including Kamsa, Kaliya, Putana, and in the more distant past, Bali and others. Here Narad Muni further emphasizes the supremacy of Krishna and his devotees by praising the Lord's munificent character. He punishes both demons and devotees, yet in either case these activities are praiseworthy. Firstly, Sri Krishna's mercy to the inimical is one of the most essential aspects of his personality, as validated by the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport. The Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards him the highest reward. That is the standard of his character. Therefore, who but the Lord can be the ultimate shelter? Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.23 purport. While Kamsa was ruling Mathura, the dread of being killed by Krishna tormented him constantly. But as a side effect of this involuntary meditation, Kamsa became completely Krishna conscious. Sugadeva Goswami describes. While sitting on his throne or in his sitting room, while lying on his bed, or indeed while situated anywhere, and while eating, sleeping, walking, or drinking, Kamsa saw only his enemy, the Supreme Lord, Rishikesha. In other words, by thinking of this all-pervading enemy, Krishna became unfavorably Krishna-conscious, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.24.
It's almost like, yeah, unfavorably Krishna-conscious.
Yes, he's become unfavorably Krishna-conscious. Four, Srila Prabhupada in the purport of this verse explains how difficult it is to avoid being Krishna-conscious. Kamsa, however, because of cultivating Krishna consciousness in a different way, that is, inimically, was uncomfortable in all the affairs of his life. Either whether sitting, sleeping, walking, or eating, he was always in danger. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. A non-devotee or atheist also cultivates God consciousness by trying to avoid God in everything. For example, so-called scientists who want to create life by a combination of chemicals regard the external material elements as supreme. Such scientists do not like the idea that life is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. If one can understand the position of the living entity as a separated portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by studying the nature of the living entity, one can understand the nature of the Supreme Godhead, since the living entity is a fragmental sample of Godhead. But because atheists are not interested in God consciousness, they try to be happy by cultivating Krishna consciousness in various unfavorable ways. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.24 purport.
So that's what we're meaning. Is everybody's God conscious, but is generally unfavorable God consciousness. Pure, unalloyed, unfavorable devotional service. Yes.
But Maharaj, it seems that in that description of atheists, means first they are fully aware.
They're aware. Otherwise, how are they atheists? Your common person is not an atheist and is not a theist, really. Yes, but if you bring up about God, yeah, they don't know about that, but they generally don't thinking. Yes. Right? Yes. Okay. So we'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Prabhupada ki jai.